May I say, first of all, a very warm and sincere word of thanks to you all for your hospitality and kindness. I honestly say that grace and kindness pours from every single area of this congregation. That's most certainly what I have experienced in the last few days. Hospitality is a means of grace. And certainly I have experienced that in the last few days. We are encouraged by the relationships being formed between the PCA and my own denomination. Actually, perhaps over 100 years ago, relationships between the old Southern Presbyterian Church and Scotland were very warm, were very close, and for perhaps over 100 years they fell away. And it's good seeing these bonds being restored. And what a thrill it's been meeting so many of the missions faculty, men and women who are, in spite of what they say, heroes of the faith. And these people are pioneers, and we give God thanks for them. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Our gracious Father, we thank you this evening again for this opportunity to gather together and worship. We thank you that this is the day the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. We ask that you would give illumination from your word. We recognize that we cannot understand it unless the Spirit himself gives us illumination. The natural man himself cannot understand the things of his spirit. But Lord, we do thank you that we are spiritual men and women, not because of anything that we have done, but because of your love that sought us, your love that's chosen us before the very foundation of the world, and your grace which will bring us safely home. Bless this dear congregation. Be with Dr. Duncan and the rest of the staff. Be with the ruling elders. Be with the deacons, the whole congregation. May they know a taste from on high, that they would know the Spirit of God come in power. Bless all the members of the mission faculty. Although we may never meet again on earth, we pray that we will meet in heaven and that thousands and millions will gather with us around the throne exalting the Lamb and even giving thanks for this day and our experience. Forgive our sin. For Jesus' sake, we ask it all. Amen. Would you please turn with me, please, to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You will find that in page 1293 in the Church Bible. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This week I think we have enjoyed a tremendous missions conference. And most certainly I've been at one or two of these over the years, and it's been great to hear how God is working all over the world. It's even great to have a missions conference in the congregation. And indeed it's through what we have seen in the PCA that my own congregation last year had its very first missions conference. But friends, this evening we must recognize that we are in the center of something big. I want us to get a perspective this evening as we come together. I want us to realize where we are in the scale of things. Well, we are in the middle of something big. It is something big in terms of history. This is a movement which started at the beginning of the first millennium. And you know, the history of the church, and indeed the existence of the church, is in many ways something, yes, to praise God about, but in many ways something to laugh about, in the sense that as men that dreamed. Because remember the commission that Jesus gave. Jesus looked at that 11 men, and he said that you will be the means of taking the gospel into the whole world. Now that was an absolutely impossible commission. It simply could not be done. And yet here we are today, realizing that it can be done in the power of God, because the gospel came from Jerusalem right here to Mississippi. And it's big in terms of world impact. The Christian faith is the most global of all faiths. The Christian faith is not limited to white Anglo-Saxon Protestants. The Christian faith is one that's suitable and appropriate for people all over the world. It is not an ethnic religion. It is not bound to colour. And indeed, ironically, it's not bound to creed, because Christ breaks men and women free from the chains of false creeds and brings them under the redeeming power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And indeed, now we know that there is a Christian witness in all political nation states. And in fact, in the world, there are only 10 political nation states without a church in them. And it's big in terms of numbers. The statistics vary, but arguably the church is bigger today than it has ever been in the whole history of the world added together. And here we are, right in the middle of it. This is a great verse. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the ends of the earth. And that means very clearly that God is working here. God is working all over the world. Jackson is Jerusalem. The USA is Judea. And we've been meeting this week with men and women who come from the uttermost ends of the world. And the thing about this verse is it includes everything that we've been looking at just now. It's been looking at the local and the Mississippi prisons and the universities in Mississippi and Louisiana. It's looking at a little bit further on in the wider United States. And it's looking also to the very ends of the world. And so we see here that God has given us the gospel to take over the whole world. Now, at this point, there may be some ironies. I don't know your heart and you don't know mine. But a great irony may be this, that there may be some folk this evening in this building and they don't know Christ. The irony is that you've gathered to support a movement of world evangelization. But the shame is that you yourself have never closed in with the Lord Jesus. It could be that your relationship with Christ is social. It could be that you have simply gone with the flow of Bible Belt culture. It could be that you yourself do not enjoy that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if that is the case this evening, I would plead with you to be honest in your own heart and now seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is indeed near. Remember that great quote, that quote that's in the wall of one of your pastor's studies. You're either in the building this evening, you're either a missionary or a mission field. And so as you walk out these doors, that's what you are. You're in one of those two great categories. You are a missionary or you are a mission field. And so we have here the gospel is a great message. This evening, I want to warn against parochialism. Last year in the United Kingdom, the BBC, that's the local broadcasting television network, revamped the weather map. And there was a huge scandal, because when the weather map came on, England was vast, and popped on the end of England was a tiny little blob called Scotland and a little dot called Ireland. And we, you perhaps not realize the significance of this, but we thought that is typical. The BBC hierarchy are dominated by London and the South East. That's all there is. And everything else is a mere dot. Maybe we suffer from that. I did one of my famous internet searches. I had heard that the number of US citizens who hold passports was remarkably low.
And I decided to find out, is it true? And I discovered the unbelievable statistic that only 20% of U.S. citizens hold a passport. And I hope that this evening in a congregation like this, that every one of you at least hold a passport, not simply to go on vacation, but even when you do go on vacation, be world Christians. Go to church if you can find a church. Many of you will not be able to find one. If you go to France, you will probably not find a Protestant church. If you go to Italy, you'll struggle to find, again, a gospel-preaching church. But I'm saying, do not be parochial. There is a world beyond Jackson. And that's what this verse says. This verse goes, yes, start in Jerusalem, but then go to the uttermost ends of the earth. Well, let's turn to this passage this evening and let us notice again three things. As we look at the verses here, the first thing we notice here is this. The church is often distracted and world mission is forgotten. The church is often distracted and world mission is forgotten. There's a famous saying, Jesus' last command is the church's first instruction. And that's what we're looking at tonight, Acts 1:8. You will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. But have you ever thought of the context? Remember what we're saying? The church is often distracted and world mission is forgotten. The church is distracted here because the disciples asked a question which reveals an obsession which carries on to this present day. The question was, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? That is an obsession about dates and times. That's an obsession about when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come. During the period between his resurrection and his ascension, the dominant theme of our Lord's teaching, during that period between the resurrection and the ascension, the dominant theme was the ingathering and the inauguration of the kingdom of God. But they thought that instead of a spiritual kingdom, that it was going to be a political kingdom. They did not see that it was a spiritual kingdom which was gradually going to be revealed and expanded. That it was a kingdom which had come, but it was a kingdom which was yet to come. That there was this glorious tension. But we find here that these folk are obsessed. They're obsessed by the second coming. And isn't that, if you will forgive me, one of the obsessions of the American church? I've been in a few Christian bookstores in the last few days, and the walls are covered with books about speculating about the second coming. I've been listening to Christian radio stations. Some of the Christian radio stations I seriously thought were comedy stations. The views were so utterly preposterous, I started laughing. And I thought, this guy's a great comedian. And then I realized he wasn't. He was being deadly serious. These are books which ought to be left behind. Because what we have here is an obsession about things that frankly are none of our business. Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Every new development in the Middle East sends our Philadelphian theologians right into the depths of Daniel, where they are going to speculate in some strange numbers game. Yes, quite truly, the church is often distracted by issues, as we would say in Scotland, which are beyond our ken. Dr. Duncan will tell you what that means some other time. Beyond our knowledge. The Lord said that these things are not for us to know. The church is often distracted and world mission is forgotten. The obsession one is dates and times. obsession too is again their parochialism. Lord, that you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel. They've just not got it. They don't realize this is big. They don't realize the kingdom of God is worldwide. Do not be among those American citizens who think that foreign news is Canada and Mexico. Look beyond that. Listen to what the world is saying. Listen to the needs all over the world. Do not be parochial. As churches, we can be parochial. I was excited when I saw the crane at the side demolishing the old sanctuary, preparing a new. We are hopefully going through a similar process in our own congregation in Scotland. But dear friends, can I ask you, see this congregation here, this building, as a ship. And see it, please do not see it as a luxury liner. I was thrilled to see, as I walked through the corridors of this building, every square inch being used. I was thrilled to see, again, please take this as a compliment, it's rather worn look, the fact that people use it and that the church is somewhere that is being used. A church is not a luxury liner. It is, First Pres Jackson, is a hybrid between a fishing boat and an aircraft carrier. It's a fishing boat, yes, for the parish, for the community roundabout in Jackson. But these dear missionaries have founded an aircraft carrier also. What does an aircraft carrier do in a war zone? Just now in the Gulf, it'll stand off on the sea. It'll stand off hostile territory. And the troops are able to fly in. They get resupplied. They get reinvigorated. And they're able to go back into battle. First Pres, please be an aircraft carrier. Never, ever, ever be a luxury liner. It is encouraging that that new sanctuary is being built. It is a real blessing from God. But pray that it will be filled with men and women who are missionaries. Do not be sidetracked into the dual obsessions of dates and times, the obsessions with parochialism. And so we see the church is often distracted and world mission is forgotten. But then secondly, we notice here, the church began in a very small way, but its ambitions were global. You must remember, the early church knew a very small world. Look at the maps in the back of the Bible. That was their world. For them, Europe only went as far north as Spain and as far south as North Africa. From Jerusalem to Rome, it was a very, very small world. This massive movement began with 11 incredibly dysfunctional men. Probably not one of them would get through a PCA church planting assessment program.